This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. GOP frontrunner Donald Trump continued his winning streak in this week's primary races. The Republican Party establishment also continued to worry about how to tackle a character who so openly espouses the party's extremist positions. But now some are questioning the candidate's mental health status. Literally. In an article in Salon, my guest Sophia McLennan asks, what if the GOP frontrunner isn't crazy, but simply not well? Sophia McLennan is an associate director of Penn State School of International Affairs, director of the Center for Global Studies. She's a scholar of culture, politics, and society who writes regularly for Salon, which was where she published her article. Welcome to the show, Sophia.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. All right, so honestly, I feel like I have thought this thought a few times, and maybe a lot of people have been thinking this, and then you sort of set it out. You're not a mental health expert, and I want to lay it out very clearly from the start that the discussion we're about to have is not in any way meant to denigrate people who are very, you know, who are struggling very in a very real way from mental health issues. It's not to equate somebody like Donald Trump with all people who struggle with mental health. I think your article very seriously asked that question. Lay it out for us. What evidence do you see, just as somebody who might want to think about asking Donald Trump to maybe see a medical expert, what evidence do you see that maybe something isn't quite right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, as you pointed out, it's really important to note from the start that there's nothing in this is meant to be disrespectful to people who have very real medical challenges. And I'm not an expert. I'm just asking questions, right? The first moment starts for me in the first debate when Donald Trump was asked a question about what we needed in government and answered, we need brain. And, you know, my 10-year-old son looked at me and said, Mom, did he just say we needed intelligence and government in a really stupid way? But it wasn't just that he had said something that wasn't smart. It's that it wasn't grammatical, right? Like, we need brains, you could say. We need to have more brains. And I mean, there are a number of ways you could say it that would have been grammatically correct, right? And so I started to notice that he had a lot of speech patterns where he'd drop a word that was needed, or subjects and verbs didn't line up, things that I know he didn't used to do in the way he talked. That was the first sign.
How does he compare? I mean, for those people who never really paid attention to him before he entered this presidential campaign, was there a time when he was more coherent?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, he's always been a blustery person. Hmm. But again, the thing is that if that were all it was, then we could easily sort of discount it and say, well, Sarah Palin talks like this, Rush Limbaugh talks like this. We've seen sort of a big movement in the realm of some political rhetoric that's sort of not grammatical, repeats the same words, you know, things like that, right? So that could be all it was, right? We could have just left it there. But then the second thing happened, which was the letter from his doctor.
So what did that letter say?
So I think one of the things that was really telling about that was that that letter came out, if I recall correctly, in October. And I think at that particular time, folks just didn't expect Trump to still be in the running. But across the board, everyone thought that the letter was really unusual. It starts, to whom my concern, which is odd for a physician to not know that the phrase is to whom it may concern. And then it says that Donald Trump has had only positive results in his medical tests.
Are you suggesting that he wrote this letter himself?
I don't know, but that's pretty weird. I mean, we know that physicians don't say your results were positive, right? They say they were negative if it's good news. Mm. And then the very oddest part of the letter that does sound a lot like Trump and Trump's camp is that it ends saying, if elected, Donald Trump would be the healthiest individual ever to be president. Now, I don't know any scientist that would claim to be able to talk about the health of other people who had preceded Trump.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the letter right now. His physical strength and stamina are extraordinary, says this doctor. Again, not really kind of something you would expect from a medical doctor. So, and the person whose name is on this is Jacob Bornstein, a doctor in New York, presumably a real life doctor. Do you think that that there may be something going on here that we do have to be concerned about? Because, of course, whoever is elected to the presidency, and this may be very premature to suggest Trump might be elected to the presidency, but anybody who's in the running at least is a person who has their finger on the trigger, if you will. In fact, Trump has been asked about using nuclear weapons, right?
Right. And in fact, that was part of the thing I quoted in my piece, which was that his answer was really incomprehensible, right? To the question, forget the situation, right? So, you know, the issue with the letter is that if he were to release it today, I believe it would get a lot more press. And I think folks would be trying to get to the bottom of how odd it is. But the timing of it was so strange. And it really doesn't look like other letters we've seen. Clinton's had to have medical reports. Sanders has had medical reports. And we just haven't seen anything quite like that. And then there's one other piece, which was that once I started to kind of look into this and think, you know, what if he really isn't okay, right? I then saw a piece that was published in Death and Taxes that really kind of laid out a lot of similarities between some of these of symptoms of, you know, someone older who's losing full capacity. Mental capacity. And that's when there's news that Donald Trump's father had Alzheimer's. And so that started to seem curious because he always talks about how he had great genes. And, you know, I don't know, wouldn't you or I say, I had great genes, but of course my dad or whatever, right? I mean, he doesn't acknowledge that history.
And after reading your article, I went back and started looking at some of Donald Trump's speeches. And I thought that if we kind of have a different lens about maybe this person does need treatment, or at least needs a doctor's appointment, needs to at least, you know, check himself out, then I started to look at his speeches in a different way. In fact, I want to play for some excerpts from his speech last year when he announced his candidacy. Here are some highlights from Donald Trump's speech that when he first announced his candidacy.
Free trade can be wonderful if you have smart people, but we have people that are stupid. I like China. I just sold an apartment for $15 million to somebody from China. They have bridges that make the George Washington Bridge look like small potatoes. I don't need anybody's money. It's nice. I'm really rich. I love the Saudis. Many are in this building. Obama, a year ago, Yemen was a great victory. 2 weeks later, the place was blown up. We're dying. We're dying. We need money. Thank you, darling.
And that is when Donald Trump first announced his candidacy for president. Those are some highlights from that speech. And yes, there's some, you know, and we've kind of taken for granted that he's incoherent and somehow that's okay. But when other candidates or other political, you know, members of the political class or elected officials misspeak, if you will, the media jumps on it, but they seem to not hold Trump by the same standards.
That's absolutely true. And we also don't see that his supporters have any blowback. It appears as though Trump can literally say anything he wants. You'll recall, of course, we have the new sort of latest big, what in other cases would have been a blunder, which is saying that Hillary Clinton's playing the woman card. I mean, when Mitt Romney said he had binders full of women in a debate with Barack Obama, that was an immediate drama. Right? It doesn't seem to affect Trump's support, and it doesn't, like you said, have the same sort of impact. So those are just sort of aggressive statements. But like I said, the things that I started to notice were times when this guy who has a degree in economics from Wharton is suddenly speaking in ways that are not complete sentences that don't make sense.
And I was, by the way, surprised to learn that. You know, I thought he was this one of these folks who just didn't necessarily like go to business school, you know, because he has this mythology about himself that he builds up, you know, pulled himself up from his bootstrap, standard conservative rhetoric. When I saw that he actually has a degree from Wharton, it's possible at some point in Donald Trump's early lifetime, he was very intelligent, very smart, and was probably able to articulate himself better than he is now. And the fact that at this point in his life, he doesn't seem to be able to articulate very well, that incoherency could be something, an indication of something deeper. Now, you point out in your article that that some scholars have found similarities between how Alzheimer's patients speak and how GOP politicians express themselves. I was fascinated by this. Tell me more.
Well, so, I mean, this is one of the tricky things, because I do think that if Hillary Clinton started talking the way Trump is talking, we'd all be paying attention and there'd be quite a bit of blowback, right? One of the things is that probably Sarah Palin was the first really famous launch of someone who was a highly visible on the national stage and just didn't speak in a way that was coherent. Right.
Right. We refer to her word salads, her speeches as word salads.
Right. And everybody, you know, they laughed at it. Now she was in her early 50s. Right. And so one of the things that starts to be interesting is here's Trump at 69 doing it. So is there any possible way that he's not okay? We don't know. I mean, I think one of the things that is one of the interesting kind of pieces of this is that we spend a lot of time making fun of Trump, right? That's sort of one of the ways we keep our collective sanity. But it's not funny if he's not okay. I mean, we kind of need to know he's okay so that the jokes are okay, because otherwise they're mean, right? And so one of the things that I thought was, you know, tricky is that the incomprehensible nature of Sarah Palin, the painting things in stark black and white, right? The lack of nuance that we've seen accompanying Tea Party rhetoric, the sort of very, very basic vocabulary. They say that Trump speaks at a fourth grade level, but like I said, most fourth graders I know might not use sophisticated vocabulary, but they still are speaking in far more grammatically correct ways than Donald Trump. So, you know, we're sort of seeing these parallels, and you can't be sure if Trump is just being an extremely savvy politician, or if maybe he's showing signs that he's getting older.
And again, this is where I think the mainstream corporate media really needs to play a much more critical role, in addition to the inordinate amount of attention, positive attention they flung at Donald Trump. It might do well for them to start asking these questions. Sophia, I want to thank you so much. We're going to post a link to not only your article in Salon about this issue, but also the doctor's letter that Trump trotted out early on in his candidacy to show that he was in, quote, extraordinary health. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
My guest, Sophia McLennan, is an associate director of Penn State School of International Affairs, director of the Center for Global Studies, and a scholar of culture, politics, and society. She writes regularly for Salon. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter and get our interviews on iTunes and Vimeo.